Let's all stand together. The Bible says, starting in chapter 9, verse 37, and it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tare him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Bobby Shell, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message tonight is The Spirit and the Bride Say Come. And you say, why in the world did we just read that last verse? When you get the opportunity to be around folks long enough, and you will probably already know of examples of this or know of times when you can remember these type of things happening. But I want to, and I'll get to that in a moment, but I want to talk just for a moment about how wonderful it's going to be when you see Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 come to pass when the Spirit and the Bride say, come. See, we are going to go to heaven someday, and I hope you know that. I hope that's something that you have in your heart, that there's going to be a day when we actually walk streets of gold. I hope you know that there's going to be a day when we say goodbye to the things of this world, the temporal, and you say hello to the eternal. I hope you know that there's going to be a day and look forward to the same of a day that there's going to be no more suffering. I hope you look forward to the day when there's going to be no more pain, no more torment. I hope you look forward to the day when there's never going to be another parting. I hope you look forward to the day when there's never going to be any more sin. I hope you look forward to the day when we say goodbye to the computer screen and hello to Jesus Christ. I hope you look forward to the day when you say goodbye to work and hello to rest. I hope you look forward to the day when there's no more physical ailments. I hope you look forward to the day when there's no more doctors necessary, there's no more treatment necessary, no sickness necessary, no pain, no medication, no pills, no eye drops, none of those things. Good night, you don't even have bad breath anymore. I hope you look forward to the day when we get to get together in heaven and we're going to be there forever. I hope you look forward to that day. But while we're here, I hope you look forward to the days that you see teenagers do right. I hope you look forward to the days when you see people come out of what they're in into marvelous light. While we're here, I hope you look forward to the days when you get to lead somebody to Christ. I hope you look forward to the days when you see somebody get excited about the fact that they read through their Bible. I hope while we're here that it doesn't grow old, that we have teenagers in the front and we have people throughout the church. And I would to God we had a bigger crowd tonight. I start to worry about those kind of things when church becomes less important than other things. I would to God that we could get people so interested in church that they've got no time for anything else but church and God and that thought process. I hope and pray that you look forward to the day when drug addicts come out of what they're doing to serve God. I hope you look forward to the day while we're here that you see an alcoholic give away that alcoholism and give away. By the way, one thing that bothers me, I heard this twice. Alcoholism is not a disease. And that's not popular. It's not a disease. It's debilitating. It tears a life apart. But it's not a disease. It's sin. That's not a disease any more than homosexuality is a disease. That's sin. It's sin. It's just sin.
And by the way, when will there be a day when we quit talking about who you have sex with as who you are? We're holding these idiots up as something wonderful because of who they're having sex with? Is this too harsh for you today? I get a little tired of it. I'm not interested in telling you all of my exploits. I'm married. I think that's vile to talk about what I do. And I'm a guy married to a woman. I don't want to tell you about it. I don't think that's proper. But they live their whole life doing this. They, well, if you don't accept us, this is what you are. You're a homophobe. I am too. You better believe it. I'll line up to be the homophobe leader. I'm afraid to death to stand next to one of them. Whatever. Say what you want to say. Hope they get saved. I'm excited to see a sodomite turn their life around for the Lord. I look for that day. I think it's wonderful if it happens. And I wouldn't tell them no if they did. But at the very same time, I want you to see some things in Scripture. I want you to get yourself privy to them, because I'm going to tell you there's never a day, Brother Jordan, where Jesus isn't saying, come. Never a day. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care where you've been. I don't care where you're going. I don't care what you're in the middle of. I don't care if you're in the middle of a pornography screen on your computer. I promise you, Jesus Christ is saying, come. No matter what. There's nothing you could be doing that Jesus Christ isn't going to be saying, come. Never. Nothing. Not one thing. And I look at these verses and I watch these things and I get a little nervous, because I think sometimes we write people off. Sometimes we don't give them a chance. Sometimes we don't let them see the wrongness of their ways and try to help them up. But there's things that they got to go through. And I'm going to be honest with you. In this day and age, I want somebody to prove to me that they want to serve God. I want them to prove to me with what they do with their lives. I'm willing to forgive, but I want to see you work before I'll ever put you in a position again. Now let me show you a few things here. Take your Bible back to Luke. When you look at these verses, there's not one teenager ever that the Lord hasn't beckoned them to come. Not one. There's not one adult under the sound of my voice where Jesus has said, stay away. Not one. There's not one person in all of history, I don't care who you pick, Charles Manson, Saddam Hussein, pick the word, even Barack Obama, where the Lord doesn't want them desperately to come to him. Desperately. That's what he died for. But as you look at these verses, I see a pattern here. I see a pattern of what the devil does. We're going to talk just a little bit about him tonight. When the Lord's saying, come, this is a picture that you see here. This really happened, but this is a picture you see here, and this picture is very often tragic. This picture that I've seen over and over and over by many lives, oh, they may not go to the bad side as much as you would expect, or they may not have a sordid tale of tragedy. But let me tell you something. I believe if you leave church and start living a worldly life, no matter how tame it is, I think it's a tragedy. I think it's a tragedy. I've got good friends that used to be very close to me that either I split with them doctrinally, or they split because they couldn't handle what we were preaching or whatever. Still my friend, but I watch them go and I see that tragedy. I see it. And by the way, there's never been one good. Never. And as I look at this verse, I liken this to what I've seen. I want you to see some verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. I bet you my father sat up nights. Look upon my son. Look upon my son. I know that I don't have a background of a preacher boy. I know that. I know I've got the background of a person that didn't lead such a good life. But I guarantee you in this room, if you're a dad, you've said, Lord, please look upon my son. If you're a dad, and I'm going to tell you right now, Josh, I guarantee you, you've prayed about that for Michael, and he's not even, well, close enough. I guess about close you can get. You're not inheriting anything from him right now, though. You're not in the will yet, buddy. I'm just kidding. You can have Apollo and his bark collar. Matter of fact, I'd like to try it on you if I could get a moment later. I guarantee you, Bobby Shell has called out, Lord, please look at my son. I promise you that your dad has called out your name, Lord, please look at my son. And maybe not in a bad way, but you desperately, desperately want them to be protected. You desperately want them to go in the right direction. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Bill, I promise you, your daddy has said, oh, Lord, please watch out for my son. He wants you to become a preacher. He wants you to be do all these things that he's expecting. But he knows how tricky the devil is. I ask the Lord to protect my son. I ask the Lord to look after my son. And as I see this person, I see a daddy crying out for his boy. Oh, Lord, please look after my son. Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. I'm going to tell you, I see child after child after child. I see Christian after Christian after Christian represented right here, represented in these verses, going off into life, getting tore apart. Get it? By the way, the devil is nobody to mess with. You invite him in for a moment, he's going to get into your life. He's going to tear at you. He's going to make you crazy. I see that foaming of the mouth being crazy. The things that some of these people are doing in this world today boggles my mind. And I watch them, the Spirit is saying, come! But it's amazing how good the devil is at taking people away from him. Austin Schumann, you can't give the devil a minute of your life. Because I'm promising you, son, he's going to get inside and he's going to get you crazy. Look at the prayer. What's amazing to me is how often people doubt their pastors. I just, you know what, my goal in life, Brother Mike, my goal in life is you fail. That's what I'm here for. I want to make your life miserable. I want you to go off and be the biggest jerk in the whole wide world. That's what preachers are here for. Do you believe that for 1 minute? No way. I love this young man. We really do, by the way. We don't just say those things. We really do. I have known Austin since before he was able to talk. I've changed most of these children's diapers in the front. Not you, Colton. But there's a day coming. And I know. And I'm not, hey, listen, I know this. Autumn, you let the devil have you for 1 minute, he's going to have you for more. The Spirit, you say, well, do you think the Spirit still calls? Are you kidding me? The Spirit's begging these kids to come, begging them to come. By the way, the Spirit's begging you to come. Let me help you out. The Spirit's begging you to come. I always wonder about people who don't go to the altar ever. I always worry about that. I worry about that because they never are spoken to in the service, ever. Because if you were spoken to, you'd come forward. My question to you is, if you're not spoken to, why aren't you coming forward? I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't expect much this morning from that preacher. I really didn't. And then all of a sudden, here I am at the altar because the Lord spoke to me through that man. The Lord spoke to me through that man. And I watch and I look at your faces and I see you time after time after time, whether churches become normal or churches. Let me tell you something. The Spirit is saying, come, but so is the devil. As I watch this young man, by the way, I want you to notice how it goes. The life is in tragedy. The life is bruised. The life is going crazy. He's going through so many different things. He's crying out. And let me tell you something. The children that are wrapped up in the things that are not good are crying out. They are crying out. The children that give you all the problems in the school, they're the ones that are crying out. And I promise you, they keep going with me, they're going to be crying out for real. But I watch the children. I watch them. There's some that know that this is a blessing that they're here. They know. There's some, and by the way, it's not what you think. It's not, well, the church kids are never, they'll always take it for granted. That's not true. I've got church kids that know what a blessing it is to come here. And I'm not talking about us for our, because it's us. I'm talking about because they know they're not in the world. And I watch, and they know, and I see, and I look at their eyes, and I look at their faces, and I see them go away from here and watch them foaming at the mouth and bruising and being hardened and having all this pain brought to them. And you look at verse 40, and I besought thy disciples to cast them out, and they could not. You know, I'm going to help you. There's sometimes in a life, in your life too, by the way, I'm picking on the kids today, but think about your life. You better kick the devil out of your life. Personally, one amen, praise God. You better kick the devil out of your life. Well, I'm just entertaining just a little. It's not a big deal, Brother Dave. I just got the Victoria's Secret catalog. I got news for you. Nobody here needs that. Nobody, that's pornography. Say what you want to, it's pornography. And by the way, fellas, if you're looking at that kind of crap, your wife ought to smack you upside the head with a rolling pin. What's the matter with you? You've got a wife. What do you need a catalog for? You've already got the item. Oh, that doesn't work for you? Is that right? See, here's the problem. We don't realize what we have, and we don't see that the devil uses these things to get into our life, and all of a sudden you're thinking there's somebody better out there than your wife. How many times have I seen that? That's another reason why I hate Facebook. He said it again. Facebook! If you continue to bring this up, I'm going to leave this place. Don't worry. The devil, when he comes out of you about this Facebook, you're going to get bruised, you're going to get tore up, and you're going to see at the end that I was right. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to see Bill and Taylor ever split up. They're meant for each other. God has brought them together, and I don't ever want him to wander his eye or her to wander hers. You get on that Facebook, you're going to see that sweetheart from high school. Put your real picture on there. She won't be interested. I see lives getting shattered and drawn in. And by the way, can I help you though? I want you to understand something. I'm warning you because by the time you fall apart, you've already made the decision to fall apart. By the time you get over to here on Facebook and having all, I've told you my testimony about, I was on it for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I wanted to grab a machine gun and shoot 3 or 4 people, and I had people from my high school talking to me on there. Glory to God, well, praise the Lord. And then all of a sudden, I had females that knew me from my past start to call me. And I said to myself, this ain't right. This ain't right. The first feelings of me having hatred for other folks, that ain't right. You know what's happening? The devil was getting a foothold. You say what you want to say. The devil was getting a foothold in my life. Now let me show you what happens. What happens is this. You get to a point that you've let the devil in, and now he's got a good little plan. By the way, the devil can't overtake you. He can't possess you, but he can oppress you. And the best thing he can do, Austin Shell, the best thing he can do with your life because you're saved, son, is make you not do what God wants you to do. That's the best he can do with you now. The best he can do is get you out of God's will. By the way, you're in a perfect cauldron of getting that done. Just warning you, you're in a perfect cauldron of getting that done, getting out of God's will by going to Akron U. Natalie, going to Kent State, it's a perfect cauldron. I've signed on for it. I think you're in a perfect place also to serve God mightily and to have a wonderful testimony in the middle of a secular situation. And by the way, don't you for 1 minute allow the devil to tell you to be quiet. Don't you for one, the world's being loud. Let's have Christ be loud. I watch these kids go to school with their heads down low. I'm a Christian. I don't want anybody to talk to me. Hogwash. Get yourself in a position where they know you're Christian. Let them make fun of you. Go right ahead. At your workplaces, don't you dare leave your Bible underneath your desk because you're worried about it. Put your Bible on your desk. Let them know I'm a Christian. I'm still trying to get my teachers to bring their Bible to school. That's a joke. I know we were serious for 15 minutes. Let me tell you something. If you look at this, I want you to see this. A spirit taketh him, he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again. And bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. I look at this, you know, it's amazing how you see a kid start to fail, and the people that used to have an effect on him no longer do. You ever seen that? A good friend of mine We were inseparable for years. For years, inseparable. Whatever I said, it was very important to this person. And I did my very best to steer this person in the way of the Lord, to steer him away from the things of the world. And then for some, I don't know how it happened, but the devil got in and started changing his life. Oh, he kept going to church, and he kept doing things that the world would portray as godly, but it's amazing. What I said no longer mattered. I went and got your disciples who used to be able to do things, and I've seen them done great things, but now all of a sudden, it doesn't have any effect. You ever had a person like that? That used to be able to talk about the Lord together, used to be able to do things about God together, and now all of a sudden what you say doesn't matter anymore. Now you're not that wonderful person that they used to go to for advice. Brother Bill, you've told me about examples of that in your life where you were able to talk to somebody and they listened to you, and then the devil got in and now all of a sudden they won't listen to you anymore. And it breaks your heart and it tears you up. But understand this, there's some times that you need God. Look at this now. I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And I look at Christians right here. I look at Christians right here. I look at Christians right here that are getting ready to get out. That are getting ready to get out of service for the Lord. That are getting ready. They want to serve God in the way they want to. They want to go to the church that makes them happy. They want to go to the place that has the guitars, and they want to go to the place that has the coffee, and they want to go to the place that they don't hear about bad things. All they do is come to church, and everybody's happy all the time, praising God, clapping hands, and doing all those wonderful things, and they won't listen to you anymore. They won't listen to you, but it's hurting their life. Look at this now. Jesus answering and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the boy's coming to Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if you think about this in your mind, this is what happens. As he was yet coming, the devil threw him down. Let me tell you, the devil's got a hold of folks. Do you know why he does what he does? Do you know why he does what he does? Because he knows what happens if you make it back. Look at Luke chapter 22. This is the Lord speaking to an apostle. This is the Lord speaking to somebody who is privy to Christ. He is close to Christ. He has seen Christ and handled the word of life. This is not some Joe Schmo. This is Peter. Look what it says. What do you think Satan's in the business for? This isn't impressing any of you, is it? This isn't impressing anybody because, oh, we don't need to hear about the devil. He's nowhere near my life. He's closer than you think. Do you think he liked that song that they sung tonight? Do you think he was impressed with your piano playing? He wants you to do it more. He wants you to do it more often. The devil wants you to do that more often, right? He wants you to practice with those girls and sing those wonders. That's what he wants you to do, right? No, this is what he wants you to do. I want you to look right here at verse 31 in chapter 22 of Luke. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may make you a good person, that he may make you all right, that he may change your life and put it in a good place. No, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And he knows that if you come back to Christ, that he's not going to have the chance to sift you anymore. You're above it. I know. You are mature. I know. You are so close to God, you can sense the Shekinah coming right off him. I know. But let me explain something to you. The closer you get to God, the more the devil knows about it and the more attention that he raises toward you. Right. Oh, well, here's the answer then, Brother Dave. I just not serve God at all. That way the devil doesn't know about me. I can just fly under the radar the rest of my life. But trust me, you're doing enough flying under the radar. Let me tell you something. As I look at these verses, I see a young person that is being sifted. I see adults being sifted. I see their lives being sifted. Do you know why it's so hard, Brother Jordan, to get rid of things of the world? Because Satan hath desired to have you. Do you know why it's so hard to give up country music? Sorry. Shouldn't have brought that up. Yeah, because country music mentions God like once in every 18,000 songs. It must be godly. I got Christian rock music that mentions God, I think. I can't understand what they're saying, but I think God's in there somewhere. And when they're talking about God, it's not godly. Do you know why it's so hard to give up the world? Because Satan has desire to have you, and he's really good at it. You know why you have such a hard time giving up your websites? You know why you have a hard time? Because you're coming to Christ, and I want to show you what happens. The devil knows that if you make it here, the devil knows that if you get to this place, the devil knows that if you make it up to this altar and give something to Christ, and the devil knows that if you change your life, the devil knows that if you give up something for Christ, the devil knows that if you get rid of some of the worldliness, that he might lose a hold on you. And the best thing you can do to a Christian is hold on to them and make them ineffective for Jesus Christ. So what he wants you to do is just stay not effective. What he wants you to do is not serve God. Doesn't matter what else you do, just don't serve God. And look at what happens. And while this person is coming, the devil threw him down. Why? You know, I've watched people almost get there. You ever seen that before? How many times? I'll give you a good example. Folks used to come here all the time. Gordon Mathias. What a wonderful guy. You shouldn't name names. That's why you're not preaching. Good friend, good person. Oh my, you can't get a nicer person ever in your entire life. Gordon Mathias, real deal, very, very good man. He could never make it here. I talked to him myriads of times. Brother Bobby's talking. I can't name how many people have talked to him. Every time he'd come, the devil would throw him down. See, we think the devil doesn't exist. I don't know why we live in this bubble. I don't know why we live in this place where we think that we don't have to pray. We think we don't have to ask God. We're in such a good communication with the Lord that we never have. I'm going to tell you, in the prayer meetings that I've had with these men, almost every one of them starts out with, "Oh God, if there's iniquity in me, Lord, please take it out, because I don't want iniquity in me when I'm talking to you." We all are dirty. We're all in trouble. We're all on the devil's radar. And the devil does not want you to, he doesn't want church tonight. He doesn't want me to come here tonight. He doesn't want me to preach this to you. The devil hates to be found out. And I watch Christian after Christian after Christian come up and get almost there. They almost want to change their life. And the devil picks them up and throws them down. Why do you think you have trouble getting rid of the things you get rid of? You know why it took me so long to get rid of my movies? Because I kept getting thrown down. But I won't get to laugh. These movies are really funny. I like a good comedy. That's why I come to church. And every time I'd get close to giving up something for the Lord, the devil throw me down. Oh, you can't do that. You're becoming weird. You're having problems. You're letting people tell you what to do. Let me tell you what he does. You know, he throws you down by telling you who you are. This boy went through these problems. Was his dad going through them? No, his dad was there. He wasn't going through them. The devil threw him down. The devil threw him down by telling him, "He's worthless." Huh? The devil ever told you that? Has the devil ever told you there's no reason for you to be preaching the word of the Lord? Isn't that scary? Huh? Has the devil ever told you you're not good enough to serve God? Huh? Ever told you that? You see, what happens is this. And you say, "Well, the devil doesn't talk to me." No, but he knows how to get you to hear. Brother Meyer, has the devil ever told you, "Why are you pastoring?" Has the devil ever told you, "Brother Eddie, why do you go to the nursing home? You're not doing any good." Has the devil ever told you, Brother Jim, that you ought not text men? It'll never die, buddy. Has the devil ever told you you're not good enough to pick up bus kids? Can I help you a little bit? Josh, the devil's right. Huh? Bailey, the devil's right. You're not good enough, honey. You are a sinner. You don't do right. You do things that I don't agree with. You do all these things. And by the way, so do you. And the devil will tell you you're not good enough. You're not wise enough. You're not willing and able to do it. That's what he wants you to know. That's what he wants you to think. How many times has the devil guilted you into not coming up to this altar? How many times has the devil guilted you into not doing something that God asked you to do? How many times has the devil done that? He tells you that because it's the truth and you can't refute it. I'm not worthy to be preaching his word, Jordan. I'm a sinner. But that is who God uses. I am nothing. That's what we need to know. Miss Darlene, I'm nothing. But Christ is all in all. Nicole, you're not worthy to serve God. You're not. You're a mess. I've got a laundry list from you telling me why you can't do something for God. Where's Sean at? Is he here? Well, he's the foyer man. He's Dallas Cowboys tonight. Let me tell you something. He'd agree with me. You've given me a laundry list of why you can't serve God. Let me crumple that up and throw that out, because God uses people just like you to serve him. The devil will tell you you're not worthy. I'm telling you God has made you worthy. But what happens is this, Brother John. You can't direct the music. Still. I think he's doing a great job, by the way. That was a joke. But I'm going to tell you right now, the devil sees you and he says, I'm going to throw you down and you're not worth it. How many times has the devil taken my life and said, you ought not be preaching? Here's what he gets me with, Brother Bill. Why aren't you pastoring? Huh? Why aren't you an evangelist? You know, the devil gets you with that too. He's good at it. You look at these things. While he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. What have you allowed the devil to tear in your life? How many nights have you spent awake worrying about what you're doing? How many times have you spent awake thinking, why aren't you doing this? I got to be honest with you. I don't know why I'm not doing what my mind thinks that I should be doing. But I know this. I'm doing right now what God wants me to be doing. I can't explain it. I don't know why things are the way that they are. Here's the question I got to ask you, though. What does it matter? If God's in it, where's the argument? But the devil will convince you that you're supposed to be doing this. Huh? And if you're not doing this, you're not right with God. Let me ask you a question. How many times do you think that we have spoken? Well, you know what? We don't win souls like Hammond, Indiana does. And because we don't win the number of souls that somebody else does. Let me tell you something. I can talk to you. This man right here, he was in a Christian college. Brother Jenkins. Great man. He can talk to you and tell you that they wrote down false numbers on them slips. Tell me I'm wrong. Huh? Oh, Bethel, not doing their job. The devil will tell you that. Well, let me explain something to you. You better do what God wants you to do and tell the devil to go home. Well, something's holding me back from being a pastor. It's God holding me back from being a pastor. I think I'll let him just hold me back. Can you take it? See, can you take God directing your life? The devil tells you that you ought to be doing this or you ought to be doing that. The devil uses those things to tear your life apart. So you're more concerned about who you are than who he is. You're more concerned about looking good in front of people. That's why I hate the glad hand society. I hate the backslapping society. I hate the, oh my goodness, we couldn't survive without you society. Let me explain something to you. If I drop over dead right now, most of you would smile, but if I dropped over dead right now, this church would go on easily. Don't you buy in to nobody can be replaced. Everybody can be replaced because God can replace them. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. You're irreplaceable. Jesus Christ is the only one that's irreplaceable. And here we are, worried, that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, letting the devil take control of our lives, and some of us it's tearing apart. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child. Look what it says. Devil knows what happens if you make it. He is not dumb. Number two, your flesh will fight the spirit that wants you to make it. Your flesh fights you. I've watched people white knuckle that have been saved for 20 years on not coming forward to this altar. I've watched them grip their chair and just... I'm just going to keep my head bowed because then nobody will look at me. I've watched people white knuckle because they're worried that somebody... Well, the message was about pornography. If I come forward, they're going to think I'm into it. Listen, I don't care why God brings you forward. What in the world's holding you back? What in the world's holding you back? It's tearing your life up. It's tearing your life up because the devil's very real and he's very good at it. He knows. He knows. He knows who you are. He knows what wiles will get you off of center. He knows that what he can put in your life will make you change who you are. Your depraved flesh will help you to doubt. Your depraved flesh will help you to fail. And you're carrying both of them up here to the altar. That spirit and your flesh. You bring them together. Look at this now. You never could make it before. Just can't do it. Why would you start making it now? Has the devil ever told you that? Has the devil ever told you, just sit where you are, you're doing fine, preacher's not mad at you. You don't have to come. Why change your life? You're so comfortable now. Why change your life? Everything's going great. Why change your life? Oh, why change your life? Everything will be fine. You don't have to be a bus driver. Why would you change your life? You don't have to be an usher. Why give your tithe? You don't have to be a tither. Keep your money. Preacher doesn't know anyways. He doesn't keep track. I don't either. I don't either. I don't care, but I do know this. I'm warning you about it because the Bible says that you've got a curse on your house if you're not tithing. I can't afford to pay my bills. You'll get nothing if you keep not tithing. And I've watched people say, Brother Dave, come on. I know people that don't tithe. And they make it just fine. I watch them make thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Everything is just fine. Yeah, you're right. Do you know what's going on in their heart? Do you know what's going on with their life? Because let me tell you something. If I know the Lord at all, he will get his. Your body, your flesh desires you to not make it to the altar. Your body, your flesh desires you to not serve God, to not take that next step. Some of you have reached a plateau of service for God, a plateau of spirituality towards God. God is standing there saying, please come, please come, please come. I want you to come. I just want you to make it this far. Oh, please come. What a beautiful thought that is. What a beautiful statement that is. What a beautiful view that is. Watching the Lord call sinners to come. Oh, please come. And serve me. Oh, you'll never regret it. Why does your body fight you then? Because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, and it doesn't want you to make it to this altar. The devil gets you to take your eyes off of who he is and put your eyes on who you are. Instead, the Lord wants you to realize who you are and then realize who he is. In truth, we are all guilty. In truth, we are all faithless. In truth, we are all unrepentant. In truth, we all have no joy. In truth, we all have no hope. But Christ gives us a reckoning of all these things. Christ gives them to us, crying for us to come, crying for us to come to him, crying for us to make a difference. I'm going to tell you right now, as I look at these things, I want you to see one last thing. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. You're going to bring those things with you. You're going to bring those things of your life, your flesh, your being, your guilt, your doubt. You're going to bring those with you. Christ knows that those are coming. And he says this, I'm going to rebuke that uncleanness in you. I'm going to rebuke that flesh in you. And I'm going to heal my child. Do you want to see great things happen in your life? Your life. Don't look at anyone else. Look at you. Oh, because you're so great, you're right where God wants you. I'm sorry. I'm not talking to you. Let me go talk to somebody where God's not perfect with. I want you to know this. I find my way up the altar all the time to ask God to make sure that I'm doing what he wants me to do. Because I can't do it on my own. I want God to know that I want to be available no matter what it is. I want God to know I want to leave the world behind and go forward towards him. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think I'm very good at it. But I am privy. I know that the devil wants me to not do this. I know that the devil doesn't want me to preach this to you. He hates this. He hates this. He hates you finding him out. He hates knowing what's going on in you knowing what he's doing in your life. He hates that. He hates you coming to the altar. He wants you to stay in your chairs. And I'm not forcing an altar call. Listen, if you never make it up here, that's between you and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to call anybody out over this kind of thing. I'm not. But I know one thing. I'm going to go back to my buddy for a minute. I watched his life, and I watched him get tore up. I watched him get bruised. I watched him get thrown down. I watched him, why? Because he could not make it all the way. I'm not talking three quarters. I'm talking all the way. All the way to what God wants from you. And by the way, it's not going to be in 10 minutes. You're going to have to live a life that is desperately seeking what God would have. Because Austin, you're a good boy, son. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to figure God out ever in your entire life. But you can figure out what God wants for your life by doing what his will is for you today. See, Paul said, I die daily. You can't just say, I'm going to die today and have a doctorate degree. I've got to believe that Natalie's not going to get a bachelor's degree awarded to her tomorrow. Amen? I got to believe she's going to be going to school for a while. I've been serving the Lord for almost 20 years. I'm still asking him to show me. Because I haven't got it figured out. I haven't got to figure out why I do some of the things and think some of the things and act the way I do sometimes. I haven't got to figure it out. And I know that there's been times that I should come up here. There's been times I should pass out a track. There's been times that I should go soul winning. There's been times I should be praying. There's been times, by the way, I bear myself to you. Hold it against me all you want to. I'm just being honest. There's times when my flesh overtakes my spirit. And I allow it, by the way. I'll amen myself. Amen, brother. I agree with you. You don't have to amen me, but you know I'm right. And here's the thing, we can toy with the devil all we want to, we can toy with the world all we want to, but understand this, he gets a foothold, he's going to bruise you, he's going to throw you down, he's going to make you crazy, and it's very difficult to come back. How many people do you know that left Bethel that came back? Help me, not very many. They go out in the world looking for the right preacher, when their preacher's right here. Well, he makes me aggravated. That is God aggravating you because you've got the devil in your life. And what your preacher tries to do, your preacher tries to convince you that it's the flesh that's acting up and you need to get right. If you look at what this does, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child. Boy, this is so good. And delivered him again to his father. as saved people, you can never get out of the reach of God, but you can create distance. The Lord can always reach you. As I started out, the Spirit and the bride say, come. What a beautiful day that's going to be. But you know, the Lord says, come today, right now. He's asking you to come. Come to Him and let Him help you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. In this day and age, this world's crazy. This world is crazy. The Spirit says, come. And if we would come, this is where we're going to find rest. But it's amazing how often we try to fix it before we come to Him. It's amazing how often we try to put all of our 2 cents in before we ask God to take care of it. Somebody say amen to me tonight. It's amazing to me how often we try to bail out our boat when God says, I'll give you the cork to plug the hole. It's amazing to me how often we ignore what God is trying to do in our lives to make it fit what we want, to make it fit our desires. We ignore what God wants for our life, and we find ourselves all alone. We find ourselves all the way away, and all of a sudden we decide, you know what, man, maybe I better go to God now. I would to God we had a relationship with Him where we would come to Him immediately. When's the last time you talked to the Lord? You don't need Him today? I prayed to Him this afternoon over the situation that's going on, because I'm going to tell you, I believe He's the only one that can fix it. But I felt bad to myself, because that was the first time I prayed about that particular situation. I should have been praying about it all the way. You know what's amazing to me? The Spirit is always saying, come. Always. There's never a moment when God wants you to stay away, Jim, ever. I've seen your jumper lately. I think you would have won if you'd have said, Lord, please direct these shots. You let that kid beat you, and then you wondered later, maybe I should have prayed about it. Pray first, then shoot. You say, well, that's trivial and silly. I think God's interested in all of it. I really do. I'll take care of it. That's your flesh talking. I'm good enough. That's your flesh talking. I'm wise enough. That's your flesh talking. I'm none of those things. I'm not. I need the Lord to direct me in everything. Here's the wonderful thing. He's always saying, come, come. I want to help you. I want to help you. You don't have to face this alone. Don't let the devil pick you up and throw you down. Don't let the devil tear your life apart. Don't let the devil bruise you. Don't let the devil get you to a position where your people that mattered to you in the past no longer matter to you. Don't get that far gone. Recognize that the devil is always there watching you. He's not omnipresent, but he's fast, and he knows when you're getting into a mess, and he's got a good way to do it. He gets me all the time. I'm glad he never gets you, but he gets me all the time. And I have to come to the realization that I need God to help me. And he's always there saying, come. Come. I want you to see these verses, and I'll quit. I'm just going to read them to you, and I'll quit. If I can find them. I think I can. Turn to Matthew. I can just see the boy screaming out in pain as the Lord rebuked that spirit. I can just see the boy crying out. But what was wonderful is that the Lord took him back to his father. You know, when you get messed up and you get to a point in your life where you realize that the flesh has got a hold of you. Jesus Christ at the end will take you back to the Father. He'll take care of it. Oh, I don't know if I believe that or not. That's because the devil's got a hold of you a little bit. The devil's telling you that. Because Christ never doesn't say come. If you look at the verse in chapter 11 of Matthew, starting in verse 28, the Bible says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, preacher, my load is heavy. Then you're carrying the wrong load. Take his yoke upon you. Learn of him. Because his is easy and light. You'll find that rest because the Lord will help to lift you up. And he's good at it. He's better at it than the devil is at throwing you down. And I know the devil does it. And it's hard to come out of the world. It's hard. Oh, it's so hard. So easy to go in. So hard to come out. But no matter how far you're in, no matter how far they're in, the Lord is always saying, come. What a wonderful Lord we have. He's always saying, come. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. Lord, I so often fail you. Lord, I need your help. I don't believe there's any person in this room that is above getting into the world. I don't believe there's any person in this room that is above going deep into sin. I don't believe that for one minute. But Lord, I'm so thankful that there's never a time that we can't come and seek you out. You're always willing with wide open arms to take us. You're always willing to help us. Lord God, please, don't let me turn out as this boy that the world got a hold of and the world beat up and the world bruised and the world made him crazy and the world made him suffer. The world tore him. Oh God, please, don't let me be as him. Lord, please, don't let me go in that direction. Lord, please, keep me out of that direction. Keep me empty of myself, Lord, and just filled with you. Oh God. Help us to recognize what the devil desperately tries to do in every one of our lives. Help us to recognize that and keep him out. Lord God, please. Bless Bethel Baptist Church. We need you so desperately. I believe it's almost time for us to go forward. But I believe we need to pray for our pastor. I believe we need his health here. Lord, I believe we need to pray for each other. I believe we need to help hold each other up because I believe that we're going to be tested very, very much in the near future. Lord God, you know all things. You're directing all paths. Lord, let us follow that direction. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say, you know what? I know that I know that I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die right now that I'd go to heaven immediately to be with the Lord. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? That means I'm talking to Christians. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Satan hath desired to have you, Christian, that he may sift you as wheat. And he's very good at it. If nothing else, I would pray tonight to keep him away. If nothing else. If he's around you, pray that he gets out. Pray that he goes home. Pray that he stays away. Pray that you can empty of yourself and fill with Christ. Pray that you get closer to him. Pray that you get more in his Bible. Pray that you get more in prayer. Because I'm going to tell you, in these near days, we're going to need this, I believe, very desperately. Dear Jesus, please help us to have an invitation that is full of business tonight. Lord, please, I'm begging you to help us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. With every...